It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson, and happy Monday. As we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, their rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't need force to implement it, and socialism ultimately comes down to force. Happy Monday to you, Steve. It looks like that we've got a lot of socialism talked about in the country right now, with Bernie winning the Nevada caucuses. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot, and I don't know. It just, I guess wait till we do the funny, because that's a great segue to this, so I'll just reserve my comments.
Okay. Well, it is amazing. Bernie Sanders, socialist, communist, won the Nevada caucuses, and now Harry Reid, a former senator from the state of Nevada, is calling for an end to caucuses. I think the Democrats have a real problem here. They have espousing socialism light, communism light, and the radical left has taken over the party. And I don't think that they can get this genie back in the bottle. They've really got a problem here. So it's going to be very interesting to watch this.
Poor,
before we jump,
poor Harry. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah. You better be careful. You reap what you sow. And for a long time, they've been sowing the indoctrination of socialism with our young people. And so it's going to be real interesting to watch what happens here. It's going to be a defining moment for our country as we look into this 2020 election here. But before we get into everything, always like to say thank you to our team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I really appreciate all that you do, and to each of you listeners, you're each valued, you're treasured, you have a purpose today, so go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com, that's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. The podcasts and recaps of the shows are there. And sign up for my weekly email newsletter to keep you apprised of guests and all of the important information coming out. We've got we have our writer's circle that we're doing great op-eds. This week is starting off with Roger Bianco talking about his trip down to Australia and some of the similarities between Australia and America. Very interesting piece, so be sure and check that out. But as we get into the week here, first thing, on the show, we're going to go through some headlines here, and then Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado will be calling in with our Monday morning legislative update. And then segments 3 and 4, my friend, former state senator in Louisiana, Albert Guillory, will be talking about white privilege. It's so interesting. The first time I heard this white privilege word, I'm like, what? We're a country that, instead of looking at color, that we are looking at merit, at character. And, of course, over the last... Well, with the previous administration, I thought we had been making great strides to unify our country, and then all of a sudden we see all this divisiveness and looking at people as groups instead of people. So I thought it would be good to have this conversation with Albert Guillory, because somebody sent me, Steve, this was so interesting, an invitation that is out there to suburban women to get together for a dinner once a month to talk about what to do about their white privilege. Like, honest to Pete, I could not believe it. So let's talk to Albert about that in segments 3 and 4. It should be very interesting. But because of that, Walter Williams, I thought we'd go to him for our inspiration and wisdom. Walter Williams is an American economist, commentator, and academic. He is the John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University, as well as a syndicated columnist and author known for his classical liberal and libertarian conservative views. His writings frequently appear on townhall.com, WND, and Jewish World Review. And this is what he said. He said, what's just been debated for centuries, but let me offer you my definition of social justice. I keep what I earn and you keep what you earn. Do you disagree? Well, then tell me how much of what I earn belongs to you and why. Steve, I thought that was very appropriate given what's happening over on the Democrat presidential candidates and their narratives.
Yeah, it's a contrast that, it just seems so fundamental. And
yeah, doesn't it?
And yet we have these people who constantly out there saying, yeah, we want more. We want more. We need more. And this is what I'll do when I get in office, and I'm going to take more. And I don't know. It just is so contrary.
I think that all of us do understand that there is some amount of taxes that we pay, you know, to make our society go.
Yes.
To make it run. And the founders understood that, but they said that needed to be very, very limited. Hence the vision of the Declaration, that all men have this right of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness. That doesn't mean that somebody else has to give you happiness. You have to pursue it, and then you will reap the benefits of your choices, or you will have the consequences of your choices. But that is what the freedom is. And the Constitution put that into place to make sure that that was what, you know, what we would have here in America. Steve, your thought?
Thank you for making that distinction. I think some days we go off the air and I think about what has been said, and I thought, okay, you get on these tirades that make it sound like, oh, we don't want any taxes at all. That's not the point. It's the point of taxation where your prosperity comes under direct attack. And again, your pursuit of happiness then suffers greatly.
Well, in the old days, people would take people's stuff via weapons. You know, they'd ride in, you know, and they'd take your stuff at the point of a gun or a weapon.
We call it plunder. Now,
it's called plunder. But now what is happening is government, these PBIs that are getting into office, they are using policy to take stuff, and it's not that much different. And in fact, we'll get to our bill of the day here in just a minute, because there is plunder in that particular bill. Before we do it, though, I've got a good funny for you. Are you ready? Are you ready, Steve?
I am.
Okay. A Brit, a Frenchman, and a Democrat presidential candidate are standing and staring at a portrait of Adam and Eve. Oh, look at their calm, their reserve, says the Brit. Surely they must be British. Nonsense, replies the Frenchman. They are beautiful. Surely they must be French. The Democrat presidential candidate finally speaks. He says they have no clothes, no shelter, only an apple to eat, and are being told this is paradise. They're definitely Bernie supporters.
I deliberately chose that because after this weekend, it's like there's no other way to describe what we're seeing. It's the Twilight Zone.
It is the Twilight Zone. It's not that funny, but we still have to have a little bit of humor on that. Very quickly, I want to talk about this bill that Patty has pulled for our bill of the day. It's Senate Bill 20, and SB means it's coming out of the Senate, the year 2156. And it's called Protecting Preventative Healthcare Coverage. And per the bill summary, per the website, the state website, it says, the bill codifies a number of preventative healthcare services currently required to be covered by health insurance carriers pursuant to the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, that's Obamacare, and adds them to the current list of services required to be, now here you've got those socialist words, required, okay? So adding them to the current list of services required to be covered by Colorado health insurance carriers, which services are not subject to policy deductibles, co-payments, or co-insurance. So that means that it is free to whoever is getting it, but there is no free lunch. It certainly is going to be paid by somebody. And I think one of the best synopses of this bill is from Senator Lumberg's newsletter. And he says the bill allows staffing by medical professionals to be accomplished through telemedicine. He said SB 156 is a sleeper bill that will fully fund Planned Parenthood through the medical insurance companies, which means you and I will be funding Planned Parenthood. The bill expands the medical services that all medical insurance companies must pay with no deductibles, no copays, and no coinsurance. This means the insurance company must pay the entire bill, and it is completely free to the patient. Most of these mandates, okay, that's another code word for force, are just for screening diagnostics, but do not cover, without the deductibles, any medical problem that might be treated as a result of the free screening service. However, in SB 156, there is an exception to this rule. The key phrase is family planning services. And who is the largest family planning service in Colorado? It's Planned Parenthood. Steve, I just have to say, I find it so interesting that Planned Parenthood, I mean, they're so good with words. Okay, Planned Parenthood would imply that you're going to be a parent. Family planning services would imply that you were going to have a family. But yet they're in the business of aborting babies, which is not part of a family. When you abort a baby, you're not creating a family, and you're not really becoming a parent. I think it's so important to show how they kind of twist the words around in our minds. Do you have a thought on that, Steve? I guess not.
I'm sorry, okay. If you tossed to me, Sue was calling in.
Okay, sorry about that. Never mind. I just mentioned that I thought that the words were so interesting that Planned Parenthood would imply parents, and that family planning, as mentioned in this bill, would apply that you were having a family, but yet they're in the business of actually aborting children.
Yes.
I just thought that was pretty interesting.
I was just going to the phones when you were talking about that. It's a backdoor bill, again, coming in, sneaking in through the back door. I'm glad you brought it to the forefront here, because it it makes me ill.
Okay, just a couple of other things before we go to break, and then we'll talk with Sue Moore. This is from Fortune. It says some states are stepping up funding for Planned Parenthood clinics. And they're doing this, if you might remember, the Trump administration had said to a number of these quote-unquote family planning organizations that if, in fact, you were going to be referring people to abortion clinics, that then you were not going to receive, I think it was this Title X money. And it was a significant amount. So now what we see is states are coming around with this workaround, and Colorado is one of them. One other thing I wanted to mention, because I'd seen this a while back, and that is that Planned Parenthood is planning on in contributing anywhere from $38 million to $40 million in this election cycle. So it's really kind of interesting that they're able to now use either taxpayer-funded money, or in this case, Colorado is putting mandates on private insurance carriers, which that means our prices are going to go up, to fund Planned Parenthood, and then they in turn are funding elections to get people elected that they want to have in office. I find it absolutely, it's pretty smart in a kind of a diabolical way. Anyway, let's go to break, because I don't want to short Sue on her time, because she's got a lot of great information. Before we do that, though, March Madness is right around the corner. The Avs and the Nuggets are doing well. They're in the hunt for their divisions. And the place to watch all these games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. Wednesdays are dine-in wing day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. And they've got new roasted wings, love their smoked wings. My favorite's the boneless wings. If you don't want to cook, drop by Hooters Restaurants and pick up dinner to take home, or if you have Hooters, and you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. For more information, go to my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com.
Hey,
we're going to go to break.
Hey,
what?
You forgot your shameless plug for the Jayhawks.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Well, hopefully they'll be able to make it. So it's right around the corner. You know what? I do love March Madness, so I can't wait for all that. But let's go to break, Steve. When we come back, we'll talk with Sue Moore regarding this week's legislative update. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. I love hearing from you. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. On the line with me is Sue Moore, and she is with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. And she and her team are doing amazing work on tracking these bills that are being proposed and working their way through the legislative process here in Colorado. Sue Moore, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
Boy, you've put together a list. Let's just jump right in here. This is to give you, our listeners, an update of what happened last week. And Sue, again, explain to our listeners exactly what you and your team are doing with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado.
Yeah, so we have a very dedicated committee of wonderful patriots who we read all the bills as they're going through the legislature. So we have conference calls generally on Sundays where we discuss the most recent bills that have come through. And we read through them through the lens of liberty. We actually have a very detailed worksheet that we go through, and we have very intense discussions about these bills. We rate them based on our liberty principles of individual liberty, free markets, and limited government just in general. So, and then we rate these bills either support or oppose, and we post what principles apply to those and whether those principles are supported or violated. So there have been over 500 bills already introduced. We've rated about 350. Some of the bills don't really apply. Some are memorials to people who have passed away. Some are license plates, things like that, housekeeping bills. So we've rated about 350, which is a lot. And I want to let your listeners know, too, that you know, once we've come out with these ratings, starting this week, we're going to start publishing our Liberty Scorecard. So this is where we actually compare our ratings against our positions against each legislator, and we give them a grade. It'll be a number grade, you know, based on a 100% score scale. So that'll be posted probably on Wednesday on our website at rlcco.org. So heads may start exploding starting on Wednesday. It'll be interesting to watch. But anyway, that's what we do. That's how we do it. All the details are on our website at rlcco.org. So great. If you're ready, I'm happy to jump into what's going on.
Let's do this. This is going to be like speed bills, you know?
It is. I can't go into a lot of detail, but all the links are on our website if you want more information. First one, House Bill 1303, it's an excise tax on alcoholic beverages, specifically sacramental wine. So they there's always been generally church wines are tax exempt. They now want to come back in and start taxing those. The bill would actually repeal that exemption. So it's proposed in the name of tax simplification, and I put that in quotation marks. But you could also argue that it's an attack on religious freedom. It's not like everyone goes to church to get loopy. They go to church and they believe a certain thing about this wine that they're tasting. So so obviously we oppose that based on religious freedom. So and also just limited government. It's just not something that the government needs to be taxing. Second one is House Bill 1306. It's an excise tax credit on unsaleable alcoholic beverages. So if you're a retailer and you drop a pallet of beer, that's unsaleable. Or maybe it sat out in the sun too long, whatever the reasons. It has to do with alcoholic beverages that you would otherwise destroy. And they claim that within the bill explanation, only 19% of distributors claim this credit, averaging only $1,561. Well, if you're a small business, that's real money. And the only 19%, that means almost one in five retailers claim this tax credit. So, like I said, it's real money, and we don't think that they should withdraw that tax credit. So we obviously oppose that bill.
Okay, so so you're saying that, just a question, so they're going to repeal that tax credit. But one other question, so are retailers having to pay both an excise tax, and then when they sell it to the consumer, there's a sales tax? It seems like that's a double taxation.
Yes, you're exactly right. If it moves, they'll tax it. So
Got it.
So we don't like that bill at all. House Bill 1307, this one is rather detailed. It's called the Gay Panic or Transgender Panic Defense. It's very complex, and it's an interesting bill. All the details are on the website. But basically it says that evidence relating to a victim's gender identity is irrelevant as a defense and does not constitute heat of passion in a criminal case. So it also creates a protective hearing. So if a party claims that such evidence is relevant and wants to use it in a criminal case, they actually have to go to a protective hearing that's not, I guess it's done behind the scenes. I'm not an attorney, so I can't really speak to that. But basically, we don't like it. It interferes with the judicial process, and it also limits the defense. It hamstrings the defense attorneys, saying you can't use this idea of heat of passion in your defense. So obviously we oppose this bill, not because we don't understand it. We just think it violates equal protection rule of law. It creates a barrier for a certain use of a certain defense. So we don't like that bill.
I just want to mention something on that very quickly, Sue, and that is, as I've taken a look at the bill on your bill track here, and it says that if the victim could make an unwanted, forcible, romantic, or sexual advance towards the defendant, and the defendant, that I guess that doesn't look like that could be, brought in a court of law. And so this is, I think, kind of stomping all over the judicial process. And unfortunately, there's two Republicans that have their names on this. I'm a little shocked.
You'd be surprised how many of these bills that we don't like are co-sponsored by Republicans. But we don't look at it as a Republican-Democrat issue.
Right.
We just rate them based on principles. So,
hopefully Republicans would be standing for freedom. But anyway, continue
on. You would think so. You would think so. All right, moving on. House Bill 1309. It's an income tax credit for employers who allow for employees to telecommute. And this one has some good intentions, too. They want to keep people off the roads if they can. They want to give people job flexibility. And it's $1,000 per employee for the employer to claim this tax credit. So, however, we oppose this based on, does government, you talk about force versus freedom and picking winners and losers. It benefits employers who own businesses that could allow for that. But it doesn't, it kind of singles out.
Picking,
just
it's
those
kind of picking winners and losers then, huh?
Exactly. So we oppose that bill.
Okay.
House Bill 1310, snow removal on state highways. CDOT currently runs their snow plows between the hours of 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. This bill requires CDOT, if there's a snowstorm, to start running those snow plows starting at 4 a.m. and running until 10 p.m. There's no fiscal note attached to this yet. I'm sure there will be one, and it will be large, because it's just common sense. If you're running plowers more hours of the day, it has to cost extra money. So we oppose that bill based on that. House Bill 1312, behavioral health training requirements for educator license. So it's basically making teachers become mental health professionals in addition to all their other duties. They now currently have to do 90 hours of training to maintain their educator license. This bill wants them to spend 10 of those hours on culturally responsive and trauma and evidence-formed education. So it's taking a huge chunk out of their training, trying to make them behavioral health professionals. They're struggling as it is, so we oppose that bill. House Bill 1315.
We probably have time for just two more, so which two do you want to do?
Okay, here's a good one. House Bill 1315, carpooling service internet application register with CDOT. So there are these carpooling apps. I'm not familiar with them myself, but apparently it just kind of gets people together who want to carpool to similar parts of town. So, but this actually limits the amount that someone can charge through the app, and it limits the number of passengers in each car to 6, and it limits the number of round trips in a single day to 2. So basically, I think they see these carpooling apps as competition for public transportation. So government wants to eliminate any kind of competition.
Got it.
And, you know, aside from all that, how do you monitor something like that? You just right. can't. So it's an unworkable bill. We oppose that based on free markets and individual liberty. Prohibit sale of flavored nicotine products. There you go, 1319. It's another nanny state bill. They want to tell us that we can't drink, you know, super gulps and sugared sweets, you know, sugared drinks, and now they want to tell us that we can't.
You're sounding like Michael Bloomberg.
Exactly. Well, I'd be anti-Michael Bloomberg, but yeah. So some of these are no-brainers when we talk about them on our conference calls. And I would consider that one a no-brainer as well.
Okay. Well, Sue Moore, thank you so much. And that website is rlcco.org, rlcco.org. And we'll talk again with you next Monday morning. Thank you so much for your good work on that, and thank your team.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Hey, Jason McBride, if that didn't get your blood pressure going this morning, what will?
Well, the futures on the market will get your blood pressure going this morning. The Dow looks like it's going to open down somewhere between 700 to 800 points, and the other markets don't look too much better. There's continue to be concerns about the coronavirus because we've got a few cases now in Italy and South Korea. But it sounded like the spread was slowing in China, which is kind of the main epicenter. But the market has chosen to focus on the negative this morning, Kim.
Okay. Do you think any of it has to do with Bernie and Nevada at all?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I don't. I think it's mostly this virus that's causing the problems this morning because of the, you know, sudden reporting in a couple of new countries, and it's got the market shaken up. So we'll see if we open ugly and try to recover as we had up until a couple of days ago, or if we open ugly and it gets uglier.
Okay. Well, if you have any questions on that, I'd recommend that people give you a call over at Presidential Wealth Management. You and your team over there can help folks get their plans together so that these roller coaster rides are a little more palatable to take. So be sure and visit our joint website, airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com, where you can give Jason and the team a call at 303-694-1600. Jason, have a great day. I know it looks like it's going to be an interesting one, but we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great, Kim. Have a good one.
Okay, we will be right back with Albert Guillory.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And if you want to reach out to me, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. I am thrilled to have on the line with me former state senator from Louisiana, Albert Guillory, a friend of mine. It's great to have you on the line, Albert.
Kim, it's great to be here with you and your audience.
So, Albert, it's been a little while since we've talked with each other. You know, give our audience a little description of your life experience, how you've moved to become an important voice for conservatism in America.
I grew up in a rural religious background and family. And, of course, at some point, those rural religious values started to clash with my life in the Democrat Party. I've been involved in politics for 50 years. Elective politics during the last 20 or so years, And I had to switch parties, actually, as a result of things like the crazy position of Democrats on abortion, on the Second Amendment, on religion, those kinds of things. They just clashed with my upbringing.
And you become an important voice for conservatism throughout the country. And I think the reason I wanted to chat with you is you had tweeted out within the last week or so a picture of a Kansas City Chief player that was kneeling during the national anthem. And you kind of called him out on that. And so let's talk just a little bit about that. And then I wanted to talk to you about the issue of white privilege. I continue to hear the term white privilege from suburban white women out here in Colorado. And I thought you were the person to talk to about that. So first thing, what about the tweet regarding this Kansas City Chiefs player?
Yeah, someone sent the picture to me. The picture was taken in 2017, as I understand it. But someone sent it to me recently and asked what was my position on it. I certainly believe, as a Navy veteran, that anyone who kneels or protests during the national anthem at the time when we are standing unified in support of our nation, I believe that is improper, incorrect, and should be done some other way. Like, protests should not be violent protests. This is a protest, nonviolent, but it should also be not disrespectful to the nation.
And so that segues into this whole thing about white privilege. I know that this is being taught in schools here in suburban Denver. I know suburban women are talking about it. In fact, someone had sent me a link to a dinner club here in Denver, in the Denver metro area, for white women to come to terms with their white privilege. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about white privilege, Albert.
Well, to be very honest with you, we grew up working around white sharecroppers, people who were doing the same kinds of work in the fields that we were doing. Later, as a teenager, working on construction projects and that sort of thing. I believe that there is no white privilege in America. I don't believe that the laws favor white people. I don't believe that white people have an easier time going through life. We did a video, and if you look at my either Facebook or my YouTube, Albert B. Hillary, you'll see a number of those. When we did a video on white privilege and interviewed some white people who sadly are being forced to come forward and defend their whiteness because it is so under attack by liberals today.
Well, and I don't think that liberals really, I don't think you can tear people, you can't build people, one person up by tearing somebody else down. That just really doesn't work. So what do you think is the purpose of all this white privilege talk?
I think they want to divide Americans. I think that they also want to downgrade the contributions of white Americans. White Americans, over the last 200 years, have built the strongest nation on earth in America. Black Americans joined that battle about 100 years ago, and we worked together to do this. Native Americans have had a part in it. Asian Americans have had a part. Hispanic Americans have had a part. But this movement called America was started by white Americans to strip away the value of America. It is necessary for those same idiots to try to strip away the value of whiteness and of white people. And it's just not going to work. We're not falling for it. It is a foolish concept and something that needs to be sent to the toilets of America very quickly.
Well, Albert Guillory, it seems like in talking about white privilege, and I agree with you that it's trying to divide us and put people into groups. I felt that we were making great progress regarding civil rights and race relations in America, and it seems like we are moving backwards and looking at people as groups instead of looking at them as individuals.
Unfortunately, what you're saying is absolutely correct. During the last administration, I believe that there was a deliberate, they deliberately set out to divide Americans. So I'll give a couple of examples. In Ferguson, a young man fought with the police, got shot. Everyone investigated him. The state police, the federal agencies, and Obama sent his Department of Justice up there to do a fourth or fifth investigation. Every investigation, including the Obama administration's investigation, cleared the police officer of any wrongdoing. But since they couldn't find anything there, they found alleged racism in the way that they were handling their parking tickets. And so the headline was, racism, DOG finds racism in Ferguson, piggybacking on the death of the young man. Those kinds of things to divide our communities. They sent the Department of Justice, Obama's, sent his jackbooted idiots to Louisiana to destroy Louisiana's school voucher program on behalf of teachers' unions, all, again, trying to divide us, and they did a good job, I believe.
To what end, Albert Guillory, why would they want to divide us?
There are people who do not like America, who want America taken down a peg. They don't like our strength. They don't like our domination on the world scene. And so if we are divided and weak, there are people in America and outside America who want to take us down, like they did with ancient Rome or ancient Persia or any other great civilization. They want us weak and ineffective. It's not going to happen. We will not let it happen.
Well, and that that brings us over then to the phenomenon of Donald Trump. You know, I think for so many years, we have kind of continued to, I've actually felt it, that if you were striving for excellence, which, you know, that's kind of the American idea, then you're trying to be perfectionist or whatever. I mean, I kind of saw this tapping down on striving to do your best and working towards mediocrity. And I think that the American people just kind of continued to, it just kept pushing down, pushing down, pushing down until Donald Trump arrived and said, wait a minute, we can make America great again. What do you think, Albert?
I think that Donald Trump has been a breath of fresh air in politics. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, I've been involved, actively involved in politics 51 years, actually. And Donald Trump came and said, no, stop. We're going to make America great again. We're going to put America first. And so he started to close the open borders that permit people, mostly poor, uneducated people, to come and rest on our welfare systems, and some to take the jobs of Americans. Donald Trump stopped that. He stopped spending money, just throwing money at every little, I think he called it hellhole, nation around the world. We are happy to have Mr. Trump and the America First ideas in the White House.
Let's go to break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation regarding white privilege, Donald Trump, and what you think about that. So this is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. All the show recaps and podcasts are there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com if you have something you want to talk to me about. So on the line with me is Albert Guillory. He has been involved in politics for probably 50 years, has been elected to office, was a state senator in Louisiana. And I'm talking with him about this whole phenomenon of white privilege and how Donald Trump came onto the scene. And going back to the white privilege conversation just a little bit, it seems to me that this is totally antithetical to what Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was looking at when he said that he dreams of a time when his little children will be judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And it seems like those words are being lost right now with some folks here in America.
You are so correct. Martin wanted all Americans to be judged on what they do and how they do it, what they are as human beings, and not the colors that they come in. Unfortunately, the politics of division, the politics of identity, want to pit one group against the other group, and so it becomes very important that one's color is the defining character. It's exactly the opposite of what Martin King wanted. He felt that this was the land of opportunity, and all you had to do was to take advantage of those opportunities without any color bars. Unfortunately, people are working very hard to bring back color into the American discussions.
You see that across the spectrum. It's under the guise of diversity. And of course, diversity is very close to the word divide. And we need to focus on what unites us instead of what divides us. In the last segment, you mentioned Louisiana's charter school program. And school choice, the opportunity for families to choose the school that is best for their child, is really important. But we see across the country, whenever school choice starts to kind of raise its head, it seems that, again, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are there to try to tap it down. Although it looks like there's going to be a Supreme Court case up in Montana that may actually give us some, hopefully, a good solution regarding school choice. But tell us what happened to these kids down in Louisiana. And you mentioned that it was during the Obama administration.
Absolutely. Louisiana, and I was in the legislature when we passed it. We passed a 10,000-person voucher program permitting parents of children who are in the poorest, worst-performing, most violent schools in Louisiana, among the worst in America, to take the money that Louisiana was spending on their education, take it in the form of a voucher, and go to any school that you want to, a private school, there was one public school that was on the an excellent performing public school, or private schools, religious schools, charter schools, any school that you wanted to, and it was working extremely well. 9,000 little black kids, 1,000 little white kids, who were in those bad circumstances and bad schools, and they had escaped. And the Obama administration tried to force those children back into those rotten, performing public schools. I could not believe that. I could not believe it. Those jackbooted idiots from Washington, D.C. came here to do that in Louisiana. And they did it under the guise of this is causing, it's hurting the integration that we've worked so hard to get. These integrated, rotten public schools, they want to force black kids and white kids back into. It's terrible. I'll never forgive those people for that.
So what happened?
We fought them. We won. We beat them back. We beat them back in the courts. They elected a governor, a Democrat governor. We've had this governor now for 1.5 terms, and he has done everything that he can to roll back. His wife is a member of the teachers' unions. He's in bed with the teachers' unions. So they've tried to roll back, but we will have another governor's election before very long, and we will put another good Republican in, and our voucher program will go on as expected, and we'll be expanded as is appropriate so that more little Louisiana kids, poorest in the worst schools, can get a good education, have the opportunity that America promises.
Okay, that's awesome. Let's change gears just a little bit, Albert, and let's talk about 2020. It looks like Donald Trump is gaining more and more popularity, if that's the right word, or support, I guess that's a better word, support within the black community. Are you seeing that? What's your comments on that, Albert?
Yes, he is, and I feel wonderful about it. Donald Trump's performance has just been incredible. You know, people have tried to rap racism against Donald Trump. Oh, he's racist, he's racist. They forget that he was a good friend of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. He was hanging around with these guys for years. And now, his friendship, his past friendships aside, his present performance is stellar. The lowest black unemployment since we came to this country. The highest median family income, the highest income for minorities, for Hispanics, for blacks, highest for women. He has just been phenomenal. Wall Street, best performance ever. Donald Trump has turned America around. He's brought manufacturing jobs back from overseas so that Americans will get those jobs. He's created, just in the month of January, probably 1 million jobs. But over the last several months, millions of jobs created in America. So black folk have stopped listening to the rhetoric from the far left and started to look at what he's really doing for his support for HBCUs, that is historically black colleges and universities. He has just done a phenomenal job in the black community. Those opportunity zones, which are money going into urban America, has helped many small black businesses and a lot of black workers. Donald Trump, if not the best, the second best, certainly, president for black folk. Richard Nixon did a phenomenal job for black communities across America. And I think Donald Trump may be neck and neck with him or eclipsing him.
And let's talk a little bit about the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK. The Democrat Party has lurched way over to the left, and it seems like all the Democrat candidates are espousing socialist kind of programs for key things in our lives, like transportation and health care and communications, just across the spectrum. Comment about that, Albert Guillory.
It is so sad to see the Democrat Party, their ideas on, like, the Green New Deal, which would kill the oil and gas industries, would kill the automobile industries, leaving millions of Americans out of work. They want free everything, free college, free school, free health care, free everything, money, well, cash money that every family would receive, a minimum of X amount of dollars per month. Free everything. Someone has to pay for it. A nation that's already $23 trillion in debt would go absolutely bankrupt within 2 years with those nutty concepts that these people want to impose on our country. Socialism has not worked anywhere on earth. It hasn't worked in Cuba, in Venezuela. It did not work in the great Soviet Union. And so it certainly is not going to work here. And we must stop it. We must stamp it out. Bernie Sanders and all of that whole gaggle of foul-mouthed geese need to be put on a boat to China or some other socialist country and let them go and live their dreams and let us continue to thrive and grow and develop as Americans.
Very good point, Elbert Guillory. We have just a little bit of time left. And, you know, one of the things that breaks my heart is when I see the headlines of, like, inner city Chicago and the number of young black men that are losing their lives due to violence happening in those neighborhoods. We've got to turn that around, Elbert. How do we do that?
Kim, most people, when you ask what's the cause of the violence, they would say poverty and joblessness. Well, Trump has cured the joblessness issue. He's curing the poverty issue, but that's a lie. That is a lie. Those are not the causes of this violence. The cause of this violence is the garbage that we are putting into young people. For example, the thug life that we permit to be sold to young black men, twerking women, drugs, guns, flashy cars, that's the way to live. And so that thug life has caught on. When you take that plus the violent video games that we have sold to America, these young people who don't have parents are stuck in front of violent video games for 10, 15 years. And then we act all surprised. They practice killing all day on these games. And then they go out and really kill someone. And we act all surprised. We act like there's no relationship. But it's the garbage that we are putting into them. When I grew up in a neighborhood where joblessness and poverty were rampant. And we had a lot of guns. But we didn't shoot each other. The only difference is the injection of the garbage that we're putting into these young people today.
You know, and I've thought a lot about that. You know, we're so concerned about what we eat, you know, and not to eat garbage. But when you look at, even in our schools, just kind of the indoctrination of ideologies that really can't stand the, you know, the engagement in the battle of ideas, and that garbage has continued to be pushed into our kids. We've got quite a battle on our hands here, Elbert. So final thought, how do we fight back on all this?
I believe that the godlessness that we have, that point that we've reached in America, needs to be reversed. When we threw God out of the schools and prayer out of schools, when we took the baby Jesus out of the public square, we couldn't have Christmas displays anymore. I think that the godlessness needs to be reversed. I think that we need to bring God back into America. The basic values, hard work, opportunity, education, God, I think that we need to go back to the basics that made America great and stop all of the experimenting. We don't know which bathroom to go to. We don't. It's become crazy.
It has become crazy out there. Albert Guillory, thank you so much. It's always a great conversation. And how can people get more information about you?
Albert Lee Guillory, YouTube. Join me on Facebook, on Twitter, Albert Guillory. And please let us know what you think. Give us your ideas. Give us your prayers. Give us your support. And please continue to support Kim Monson, the voice of America. Common sense. Love you, Kim.
I love you too, Albert Guillory. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Walter E. Williams. He said, most of the great problems we face are caused by politicians creating solutions to problems they created in the first place. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Monson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry.